how do we make the things we can't control, like how do we make sure we're leveraging? How do we make sure that there's simple questions that help clarify or make sure we're focusing on the right thing? That's why the question, again, is so powerful. Is that something we can fully control?
Unleashing your best in life and work. This is the Game Changers with Eric Bolles and host Dale Dixon.
Focusing on what you can control to unleash your best in life and work. Welcome to the Game Changers podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Dale Dixon. I help leaders be their best on stage and in front of the camera. I'm also the Chief Innovation Officer for a Better Business Bureau. Eric Bolles, on the other side of the camera from me, coaches, trains, and inspires leaders to unleash their potential and the potential of those around them. Eric, great to be with you today.
Great to be back with you, my man.
So you dropped this nugget as an idea for the podcast, What We Can Control. It immediately brought me back to one of those seminal moments with a mentor of mine, probably close to 20 years ago, when he sat me down in front of a whiteboard. He drew three concentric circles on the whiteboard. At the center, like a bullseye, he wrote control. In the next circle out, he wrote influence. And then on the outside circle, he wrote interest. So, and then he broke it down. What do you control? What can you influence? And where do you just have interest, but no control and no influence? And the conversation that took place after that really just set a course and changed a way of thinking. So when you talk about control and focusing on what we can control, I think especially in these times of between what's happening in a news cycle 24/7 that can always take our attention to just bright, shiny object syndrome, to chasing whatever the latest fad is, you name it, our attention is a hot commodity and people and things are after it constantly. So focusing on this control idea is a big one. What are you thinking about it?
Actually, what you just said is the great challenge, because not only because of the news cycle or the amount of information we get, or we have such strong opinions that many times when you have a strong opinion about something, it gives the illusion that you can do something about something, right? And so fighting against the you know, on both ends, I like to say it this way, that we have a tendency to, instead of solving the problem that is, we typically focus on the problem that isn't, if that makes any sense. And so one of the things that I think is a great question to just ask of ourselves, but, you know, in the areas we influence, is this an obstacle that we can do something about? Another way of saying that is this a determining factor? Is where the X marks the spot, or is it a contributing factor? And I like what you said about interest and influence. Like, yeah, there's things we can influence, there's things we are interested in. But we definitely want to make sure the areas that we can control, we do start there, because we want the greatest return for our efforts. And sometimes, like, I was sharing with you earlier, working with a company here recently as we're doing their planning and goal setting and vision casting and plans they have for 2024. And they were so clear on what their goals were. Then we got really clear on all the benefits that come from the goal. Then when soon as we move to the big question, which is, what are the obstacles in between us and the goal? People can come with a big list, and they did. But then we asked a bigger question, which is, but of these obstacles, which are the obstacles that we have complete control over? That, you know, now that was a big deal, because now it allowed us, or it caused us, to focus on our efforts on the problems we can actually do something about, which gives even greater return. Now, are there other things that we can influence? Yes, but there's other influences on that are outside of our control. So they're contributing factors to the results, but not determining factors. And so we were able to really lock onto the determining factor. What was fun, though, I got to tell you, Dale, is just how powerful that simple question was. I mean, it changed even how people were answering the question. Especially if you deal with those who may be in a business situation, small business, big business, whatever the case can be. But let's say you're in a business and private equity is a part of your ownership group. Or let's say there's, you know, other influencers and you're like, well, this is what we want to do, but we have them over here who are, you know, can say yay or nay to what we're trying to do. And that is true, which I would consider a contributing factor. But what happens sometimes is we have something that can influence us from a distance, and it's so easy to say that's what's stopping us. And we completely ignore the very things that are right in front of us that are probably a bigger reason why we're not either reaching our goal or, if we don't solve it, will definitely lengthen the time for us to accomplish that goal. So that simple question, what are the obstacles that we have control over, or what are the things we have full control over that can prevent us from reaching where we're trying to go?
So when you talk about goals, I'm assuming you're talking about the SMART goals, that they are specific, they're measurable, I think it's attainable, realistic, and time-bound. But let's go through that process and make sure we get the questions clarified around identifying the obstacles. Once we get the goals set, we identify the obstacles, you said, and then we ask the questions about what would be contributing or actually determining factors in the obstacles to achieving those goals.
Yeah, so a simple way of saying it is, one of the obstacles you can control that keep you from moving towards the goal. That's how you ask it individually. Collectively, we just substitute the word we instead of you. But what that does is it allows us to focus on the determining factors, not just the contributing factors, right? Like, so we get down to the root. What are the obstacles that can stop us, that can really impede our progress, but we're only placing our efforts on the ones we have complete control of? Because if we don't start there, we typically bring up a whole lot of obstacles. And people will do that. Like, we bring up these that are obstacles, and they even come up with the solutions. But when you started digging into the actual solutions of them, the people usually in the room or around we start realizing we can contribute to solving these problems, but we can't necessarily determine that these problems get solved. And so what that does is that blinds us. We use energy on an area that's probably not where we should start. We want to start where we have what are the most determining factors, the actual obstacles we have full control over. And not only the obstacles, because there's some things, for instance, there people come together and say, you know, one of our obstacles to get into our goal is, we have an issue with trust. You know, there's a lack of trust between our team. And that is good that, oh, we want to build trust. But what we want to focus on is not the actual feelings, but the actual behaviors. So it's not enough to just identify the obstacles we have control over. What we want to do is identify the obstacles that we have control over around trust. So what is a result of the lack of trust? You know, what's in the way? So now, because we lack trust, what ends up happening is we don't have the full conversations that are necessary. Then identify that being the obstacle, not that we just have a trust issue. That's so broad. We want, what are the behaviors that block us from reaching our goal because trust is an issue? So we want to really get down to not just feelings, but to actual behaviors. If that's like saying, hey, you know, I have challenges with my health, so what I need to do is I need to really get in shape. What's the obstacle of that? I just don't feel like it. So what's the goal? To start feeling like it? No, that's not concrete enough. The goal is I need to get up at 6 o'clock every morning. It's just saying if this was up, you know, I'm going to lay out what I'm going to work out. Here's the routine. I'm not going to feel like it at first. That feelings have nothing to do with it. I need to identify the behavior. The actual solution must be a behavior that leads to that. So what it does is it allows people, teams even, to identify the problem that is versus the problem that isn't. It's so easy to stay very vague and general, even when we identify obstacles, because if they don't cause us to actually do something different, we will never get something different, right? I always say, like, change has more to do with something we do different in our daily routine. If we can do that, it makes all the difference in the world.
So let's talk about the refining properties of this exercise in refining the goal. I mean, do you see the goals being refined through this when you work with teams?
Yeah, absolutely. But we begin, Dale, with placing our focus where we have control. That's a big deal. But also, by the time we get to this point, we've already established where we want to go in the first place. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the goal has already been described, discussed. This is our ideal. This is where we end up. But we just want to make sure all of our efforts are tied to, and I call it high leverage activities. Solving problems that you have control over is a high leverage activity. Solving problems that you don't have a lot of control over is a low, is a very low leverage activity. Coming up with obstacles that are just random, that have nothing to do with you getting to your goal, is a low leverage activity. So this isn't just coming up with obstacles to have obstacles. No, we want to identify those vital few things that can get in the way of where we want to go. So we want to make sure our goal's clear. We want to make sure the benefits are clear. We also want to make sure our obstacles, the ones we have control of, are crystal clear. Why? Because the one thing we don't have at a limited amount of is energy. And so when we talk about control, one reason we want to make sure we're putting our focus on the areas we have control over is, the reality is, our sense of empowerment goes up. Have you ever noticed that stress and control have an inverse relationship? So any area of my life, when I don't have a sense of control, my stress level's higher. So the fact that I have to accomplish a goal, or I'm required to accomplish a goal, and I feel no sense of control of what I can do to actually get there, man, that is a miserable place to live. And so if we go through the process the correct way, I will at least be able to identify what I can actually impact. And once you get there, your confidence starts going up. When I use the example, if from a personal standpoint, about where do I have control, my goal is to have a much greater marriage between my wife and I. If I have to break it down to where I have the most control, well, where I have the most control is me. Like, how do I improve as a husband? Like, the improvement of the marriage is going to be a secondary, a byproduct. Why? Because my wife is a major contributing factor in that. What I can influence, not necessarily control. Right? So when I get down to what I can actually do, what are the obstacles that are in the way of that? She's helped with some of that feedback. Some of the obstacles we discovered with feedback. But other obstacles I know, some of my own discipline or lack thereof, my attention to detail, my ability to communicate, all those things. Those sound really great. Oh, yeah, I communicate better. But it needs to be concrete. So me communicating better, no, what I really need to do is communicate comes out of our quality time together. So here's our date nights every week. Here's the kind of time I want to commit daily that I can give her. Here's the thing that I commit to that. Again, contributing factor is Cindy's willingness to participate, all that. I get all that. But the determining factor is I can control my calendar. I can put that stuff on. I can control my attention. And the reason I talk about control in such a strong way, Dale, is when people are assessed and evaluated in terms of their strengths and their weaknesses, one of the top weaknesses that most people point out, or let me flip that, what's usually not on their area of strength is high levels of self-control. That's rarely where people say, what's one of your greatest strengths? Oh, self-control. That almost never happens. What does happen, though, is they usually say an area of weakness is discipline. Well, self-discipline and self-control are pretty much, I mean, that's synonymous. And the best way to have self-discipline is have self-control. And the best way to have self-control, I've said this many times before, is to have attention control. And so I need to control where my attention goes. So I want to make sure where I invest my attention is in the stuff that I can actually influence. And that's why I call that the key to it's a determining factor. Like, I can make sure I control my attention, my energy, what my life, when I have at this time on this day, because I got to go by calendars, it works for me. But, you know, my time with my wife is intentional. I got to be reminded daily, this is what I do. This is where I check in. That, you know, my goal is, I have this rule called 1-1-1-1, where, you know, my goal is to an hour a day. I know that's the ideal. It doesn't mean it happens. It just means I intentionally want to give an hour a day, undivided time to my wife. She may not want that hour, right? But that's what I contribute. But once a week, there's a date. Once a quarter, we try to have a getaway. Once a week, we have a year-long trip. And I realized that's a determining factor. That's an obstacle I can control. Okay? I can't always control.
I think you just made a Freudian slip. It's once a year you have a week-long trip.
Oh, yeah. Once a year, I have a week-long trip. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once a year, week-long trip. So when I say 1-1-1-1, it's 1 hour a day, 1 date a week, 1 getaway a quarter, which is like overnight or something, and then 1 week a year. So that's how that is broken down. Now, the reason this is such a big deal is I can control that. I can control my intention. I can draw my attention. I can. Now, there are times my wife may not feel like being around me for an hour that day. Okay. But here's what I have discovered. If I get the daily discipline right, it then the week, the date night during the week can't make up for what gets missed daily. And then the quarter trip can't make up for the week, the dates. And I definitely can't try to make up for that big vacation once a year to make up for the fact that I did nothing the rest of the year, right? I bring this up because that's an obstacle I can actually control. Like, you know, if the solution is, oh, we just have a really big vacation once a year, well, something can happen where that vacation doesn't take place. But the vacation is not as important if I had those daily involvements taking place. So I know hopefully I'm not all over the place and people are following where I'm going. But, you know, my primary focus, no matter what the goal is focusing on determining factors. And that's dictated by focusing on the obstacles that I actually have control over, and then coming up with solutions for those.
And it makes me think back to our episode last week where we talked about finishing strong, and it's focusing on the little things, doing the little things right. And what you just explained is you've built a process and you're focusing on the little things. It's 1 hour a day. It's 1 date a week. It's 1 overnight a quarter, and then 1 week a year. That is it's a buildup. And it's a foundation, it's foundational.
That's
and
right.
If the foundation isn't built in those first ones, then the rest of it's going to fall apart. So it's focusing on those little things, finishing strong. If you haven't listened to the podcast, go back and last week's was fantastic for that part. But this builds on that process we talked through.
It does, Dale. And again, for me personally, like, my confidence grows when I'm working on things I know I can control. Like, because there's so many areas of our lives that we don't necessarily have a lot, we have complete control over. And I say often, you know, and I mentioned it a little earlier, that if you want to evaluate the areas I stress out the most around, are usually areas that I don't have control over. I'm involved. They impact me. I might have a huge level of responsibility. Like I say, I might be ridiculously in charge, but I'm not ridiculously in control. Right? Okay. And that's a tough position to be in. But what's even tougher is in the absence of asking the question, what are the obstacles I have control over? You will spend a lot of your attention currents, your energy on things that won't give you a great return because there's too many other variables in the equation. This is, me and you had this conversation once before, but this is like when you see a sports team and a team is sitting around and, you know, in order for us to win, or it's dictated by how the referees call the game, or it's dictated by how bad the other team plays, or whatever. Those are not great variables to be depending on for your success. Now, it doesn't mean it won't contribute. It doesn't mean it can't help. But where do we have the most control over? And that is the things that we can do, our ability to execute, our ability to make plays, to the best of our ability. Sometimes the opponent we're playing against is just better, but at least we didn't beat ourselves. So we are doing the things that we fully have control over to the very best of our ability, and then trust that at work. That's why certain companies I do work with, and they look at all their assets. And I'm like, no, you guys got great assets. You take care of your people. You do those things. But little things matter, such as, man, like you can control your people putting a smile on their face, at least encouraging them, in terms of creating a greater exceptional guest experience. I mean, it's amazing how little things like that make such a big difference. And you can control that. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, you can give away a smile, right? You can say things like, thank you. You can say things like, I appreciate you guys coming when you leave. Like, but if you do not place emphasis on that, you end up putting emphasis on a whole lot of other things that you can't fully determine. Like, some of this stuff is dictated by forces so far outside of your control. So what are the things that we have fully in our control? And that is us and our attitude and our effort and our, then put your focus there. I mean, I sit in enough of these meetings that people sound so smart, and I get it. They are incredibly smart. I mean, there's some brilliant, brilliant minds out there and brilliant people. But if you really listen carefully, they spent 2 days talking about things that a lot of moving parts have to go right for your outcome to work in your favor, based on what you were just talking about, right? And you skipped over all the things that are actually in your control. And you didn't even, like, give it that kind of focus like you should. I'm like, we take the things in our control so much for granted, and then we turn around and are dependent on all kinds of variables that are way beyond us. You heard me, Dale, you and I talk about it, but, you know, the simple thing, we're always talking about the importance of communication and clarity and stuff, but, you know, I love George Bernard Shaw's quote about communication, which is, you know, the problem with communication is the illusion that it's actually taking place, right? And that is a great quote, but it's so true in terms of controlling factors. That is a determining factor to success, is the clarity by which we communicate, the things that we can do. But it's one of the biggest obstacles companies have, but it's one of the few obstacles they do something about, right? They skip that and go into all these other things that, I mean, anyhow, not to...
It sounds better. It sounds better to work on the other stuff where it is just a contributing factor and not those small things. And is that our drive to make things complex? Because a lot of what I'm hearing you say is it's getting us back to what's the simple things, those things that we can control.
Man. Hey, Dale, it is the simple things. Like, I tell you, there's a couple gentlemen that I spent time with in the last month and a half. I'm going to actually be with it. One gentleman name you'll love this name. Is Rusty Rush. and Rusty is company, Rush Enterprises, is one of the largest, man, like truck dealership. They own some of the number of truck dealerships he owns or the group owns, but more importantly, like, it's family business, been out in it a long time. I think at some point the 20-25% worth of all the Peterbilts built go through his dealerships, right? Yeah, it's significant. But he keeps things so clear. I mean, it doesn't mean the business remains simple, but he keeps himself simple, right? And that is such a significant detail, but it's keeping the simple things simple. We just believe as things grow, all of a sudden they have to be complicated. No, the business gets complicated anyways. Like, any with growth comes complication, but the principles by which you built that growth are allowed to remain simple, and more importantly, should remain simple. Anything else is a mistake. I mean, there's just no getting around that. And so one of the things that, you know, we're always, I like to say we're always working on, but one of the things we're always pushing for is, how do we make the things we can control, like, how do we make sure we're leveraging that? Like, how do we make sure that, you know, there's simple questions that help clarify or make sure we're focusing on the right thing? That's why the question, again, is so powerful. You sit, it's fun to sit in a room and watch a group and hold each other accountable by asking questions like, you know, is that something we can fully control? And then to hear the group, like, debate it and then find out, you know, I think we can. Okay, great. Since we can, let's lean into it. Or on the flip side, it's a determining factor, it's a factor, but it's not a determining factor. It's a contributing factor. So guess what? We're not going to put the same amount of time on that as we can put on this that we can actually do something about. It literally helps guide where their energy and stuff is going. And everybody has the freedom to ask that question. It's just, and it needs to be asked, because we get caught up in feeling smart or being smart. You know what they say is the problem with opinions, right? Everybody has one. But more importantly, everybody who has an opinion, we feel much stronger about the right to have an opinion than whether or not our opinion is actually right. It's the right to an opinion that takes over, right?
That might be a whole nother podcast.
I gotcha.
All right, so let's take this home. The times we're coming to an end as far as time is concerned, but the biggest call out of this, it's really a simple one-step process. You set the goal, and then you ask, what are the obstacles? Identify what are contributing factors in overcoming those obstacles, and then what are determining factors in overcoming those obstacles, and go to work leveraging the determining factor.
That's it.
Okay.
And what's so powerful about doing that is the discussion there. It'll give you a sense of control. It gives you a sense of power. I mean, it literally, in the indicator of this is, you'll feel your sense of empowerment go up and your anxiety go down. Because immediately I'm working on something we can do something about. There's just something that happens to us when we know we're focused on something we can do something about. Now, here's what's big. Sometimes we're working on a goal or a task that's so much bigger than us. And people say, well, what do? Focus on what you can do something about. So when you hear stuff, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Like, how do you cross the Sahara one step at a time? Why? Because the one step is something I control. The one bite is something I can control. The one thing. And so it's not, our goal isn't to diminish the size or the scope of what we're trying to go after or the goal. But we still got to start in the same place. And the beautiful thing of beginning it or working on the things you have full control over, you don't know when the big moment or the compound effect or the big play kicks in. That's what people don't get. Like, you don't know. So I keep hitting this rock that I want to break, and I swear I'm doing nothing. No, you don't know that. You swing one more time, and next you know the rock splits in half, and you're like, I can't believe you hit that rock and you split the rock. No, I've hit it 100 times. Right? I just didn't know when that magic number was, but I can control putting a good swing on it. And this is the focus, the idea that we want people to lock on to.
My biggest takeaway is that inverse effect of control and anxiety. Yeah. That is huge in so many applications in life, in so many areas of life. So those are some fantastic things for us to walk away with, to focus on what we and areas where we do have control. Here's one thing you have control over as a listener. You can click the like button on this. Yes. You can provide a 5-star rating. You could key in a couple words about how this podcast influences you as a review on your favorite podcasting app, and you could hit the subscribe button. Any or all of those would be greatly appreciated on our end. You can always reach out and make contact with Eric. His website is thegamechangersllc.com. I'm at daledixonmedia.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also find us on LinkedIn. So that
I want to thoroughly
ask.
Yeah, Dale, I want to make sure that it's, I want them to lock on it's the Game Changers Inc., thegamechangersinc.com.
Thank you for that correction. Yeah. Thegamechangersinc.com, not LLC. I don't know where I got LLC.
It looks like it. INC, LLC, close.
Okay. I need the glasses on. Thegamechangersinc.com, no question there, is where you can reach Eric. So, Eric, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, my brother. Appreciate you.
The Game Changers, unleashing your best in life and work with Eric Bowles and Dale Dixon. Eric is an executive coach, leadership expert, change consultant, and keynote speaker. Read his book, Moving to Great, and find him at ericbowles.com. Connect with Dale at daledixonmedia.com.